Welcome to It Happened on the Job, our podcast for entertaining and sometimes relevant conversations with contractors. Today with us, we have Raymond Gray from A1 Plumbing. Raymond, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. It's actually A1
Total Service Plumbing. Total Service Plumbing. My apologies. And you got a couple guys with you there as well, right?
I do. I have Thomas Allen, who is my general manager, who basically runs the company because I don't know how. And then I got Mario. Mario is with us. He's our outside sales manager because I don't know how to sell. So, you know, I got these guys that make up the team.
Well, they tell you, right? Know what you're good at and know what you're not good at. It's probably more important to know what you're not good at, right? And bring the people around you.
Yeah. You know, I'm married just like, you know, most guys are, so I'm not good for shit.
So we are in the middle of our coronavirus lockdown, the middle of the COVID-19. So we're doing this via phone and wanted to just give you a chance to kind of let us know a little bit about what you guys do and where you're at and how you got started in this industry.
My grandfather and great-grandfather steamship pipe fitters. My dad had got himself into trouble early on. You know, I got young parents. They were 14 and 15 when I was born.
Wow.
But my dad got in trouble and ended up becoming a service plumber. So I ended up becoming a service plumber. And so now we're four generations of pipe fitters and plumbers.
Wow. So you're kind of born into it, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of in my blood. It's what I know.
Now, did you go to any school or anything to kind of learn any of the trade, or was it just all hands-on? I imagine from a pretty young age that you were brought in and just learning on the fly.
Yeah. So for me, the way I learned is all hands-on, school of hard knocks, get your ass under the house and get the house replumbed before I get back from the bar, or you're going to get a beating.
That's one way to do it, right? Learn under pressure.
Yep. I've had to refine my communication skills with the technicians that we have nowadays, because it's not, you can't just take them out back and beat them anymore. You have to entice them with money or something else.
Right, right. Got to be a little softer these days, I imagine.
A little bit.
So how
long hit them with something? They're not looking.
How long you guys been in business now? Are you servicing more commercial, residential? What are you guys doing?
So I've been in business since 2004. I went out and got my contractor's license for my 30th birthday, basically, and started running my company legit. Our company's broken up into a couple different areas. We have our service plumbers that go out and do residential, commercial, service plumbing, anything from we'll come in and repair or replace your faucet, or we'll come in and replumb your whole house or business. Then we have the new construction side that's ran by my Brad Strickland. He's basically family to me. I grew up learning plumbing from him when he was working with my dad. They worked together for 30 plus years now. Oh shoot, probably 40 plus years now. It's a long time. But he runs the all the new construction plumbers and installing crew that goes out and does all the plumbing installs for bigger projects. And then we have our jetting, camera and preventative maintenance division that takes care of all the preventative maintenance for residential and commercial. And then we have my main crew that I run personally, which is our lining crew that goes out and does all of our CIPP, epoxy coatings, polyurea coatings, trenchless applications for residential, commercial, industrial, sewer, gas, and water.
So you're actually out in the field actually running crews as well.
I'm not a computer guy. I'm not an office guy. I'm the guy, I've always been the guy with any company I've worked with that goes out in the field and just makes stuff happen. I sell the jobs, I set the jobs up, and I communicate with the crew to make sure the jobs get done. And I go out there and I might be the owner, but I'm not too good to grab a shovel and dig a ditch.
Yeah. And I imagine that probably keeps morale in your company pretty high too, seeing that the guy running the thing is willing to get his hands dirty and get out there with you as well.
Well, my management staff has to live by one very strict rule. Don't ask anybody to do something you can't do, haven't done, or won't do yourself. If you're not willing to do it, you can't get others to do it either.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I would imagine that your employees probably appreciate that that piece or that side of you guys as well.
Yeah. Yep, most of the senior guys know that. You better not let me dig too long. You better grab that shovel and start getting it done.
So, It's okay to walk by and say hi, but don't stand there and stare at me while I dig, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, but if I'm pissed off and I'm in that hole just slinging dirt or whatever I'm doing, just
let me stay down.
Let me get the frustration out before we move to the next step.
Right. Right. And speaking of employees, how many you guys got now, and what does turnover look like? What does retention look like? How are you guys going about finding people? I know that that's probably,
you know, believe it or not, slowed down a little bit, but we're still hiring. We're still hiring quality people, still looking for talent, looking for guys that want a career path. As a matter of fact, we did get rid of 3 guys, but not because of the coronavirus. We got rid of them because they just weren't what we were looking for, but we've already hired 2 guys in their replacements and moving onward and upward.
I would imagine this particular situation hasn't slowed you guys down too much, being that you're doing a lot of service and preventative maintenance stuff. Is that probably true?
Yeah, residential service has slowed down probably by 50%, but
that's probably more because people are not sure how to approach that or bring you guys inside, right? Not so much that you can't or won't do it.
Exactly. And we have told our technicians and helpers that if they go to somebody's house and you can clearly see they're sick or acting sick, you have to use your best judgment. We're not going to tell you to go in their house. And if you don't feel comfortable doing it, then don't do it.
Yeah. From the construction side, are you guys still bidding work or, you know, starting new jobs? Or are you just kind of just finishing the ones out that you had going and kind of wait and see?
I have jobs scheduled out all year. A few of them have gotten pushed, which made it easier now to complete what we already have, but will definitely make it difficult as this whole virus thing starts to wrap up, hopefully by next month, because these people are, I get texts daily now from people I have contracts with. Make sure I'm on your schedule. Make sure you're here. Make sure you're there. We're going to do this in October. We're going to do this on this day. And so we're really going to focus now. We're focusing on making sure everybody's cross-trained on the lining and commercial crew so that when this does hit, we can divide the crew up with helpers even more than we normally would so we can tackle these projects.
Yeah, just divide and conquer and get all that stuff. Yeah, because I mean, it's probably the same for pretty much everybody in this industry. It's as soon as the green light's given, it's going to be tons of work out there for everybody.
Backlog of work that's building up as we speak, I'm sure.
Well, hopefully our president's correct when he said that he thinks the economy will bounce back faster than expected.
Yeah, I imagine it has to, just given the speed of technology of everything else that happens. I think things happen a lot quicker relative to the past, regardless of the situation, economy being one of them.
And I'm sure, especially on the residential side, with so many people with toilet paper and flushable wipes, you guys will be working quite a bit, if not working very soon, trying to clean stuff out.
Well, you don't know how valuable your toilet is until you can't take a shit.
Yep.
So. Yep, that's very true.
go back into the employees a little bit. Do you guys have like a uniform training program that you guys put guys through? Are you looking for guys with no experience so you can train them, or, you know, some experience so that you can put them into certain positions? How are you guys going about developing that?
That is Thomas's forte. My forte is to yell and scream until I get compliance. He's a little more political about that, so I let
his softer touch.
Yeah, I let him run and manage all the new hires and technicians that come in. And basically what I do is after he's brought them in and they start working good, if I want one of the guys for the lining crew, then I'll just walk into the meeting one day, grab him by his hair and pull him out like a caveman style.
You're mine now.
Yep. So Thomas can tell you more about how he trains and sets that stuff up.
Yeah.
So pretty much what I like to do is to hire character versus the experience sometimes, because guys do grow bad habits.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And even if you've had 5-10 years of experience, you may still not be what I'm looking for as far as character and where we're going to take the company. But I like to hire the character. And yes, we do have a training program where you're going to be with a technician helping them, learning on the job each day in a bunch of different scenarios.
Hey,
so
Thomas,
I would rather have the guy that's a hardworking guy that shows up, that's committed to at least want 1-2 years of what it takes to build a career, not just a paycheck.
How are you determining that character? Is that, you know, is that based off referrals, or are you just, you know, gut instinct first time you meet them? How's that? How are you determining that?
you know, I kind of want to know a little bit about your family, your past, where you've been. You know, sometimes somebody with some tough knocks, they're hungry. They want to work. If you've been sitting at home playing video games for the last 4 years, you won't make it in this industry.
So true. So true.
If you don't know how to operate a shovel, this isn't the place to learn. I actually did hire a guy, and I did the first part, and I threw him the shovel, and I stood over there next to the owner, and I watched him, and he put his right foot on the left side of the shovel, and he slipped off.
Oh, geez.
Then he put the left foot on the right side of the shovel and flipped off. And the old man looked at me, and I almost died laughing. He said, do we need to give him instructions?
Do they even write an instruction manual for a shovel?
And the kid was 23 years old. He made it a couple hours, and I asked him, so what possessed you to be a plumber? He said, my mom made me get a job.
Perfect. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's,
at 23 that's, years old. Mom yeah. made me get a job.
Let me see if Amazon has shovels for dummies for sale.
Right, right. So when you guys do this interview process, are they interviewing with multiple people so you can kind of cross-reference your experiences, or are you the end all be all?
Sometimes yes, you know, sometimes yes, or I got a good feeling about you, and I kind of lay it out, you know, of what I expect, and if you can't live up to that, well, then obviously we're going to part company, but I'm pretty straightforward in what I need, and it's the hard work and being part of a, you know, because we're family here. You know, I think each of us do have family that work here. So
well, that makes
if
sense.
If you're not in, I don't need you just pulling a paycheck.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's that team building thing. And then the morale that we kind of point back to is when everybody's pulling their weight, it makes it a little bit easier to get things done, I'm sure.
I like to be up front with the guys and let them know what I expect each day. Some days are going to be really busy and some days are going to be light. So it's not being a part of here. It's not just about plumbing. Some days we're tearing apart trucks. Some days we're working at our new shop that we're building. Some days we're pulling weeds out back. So it could be a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Finding work. And I'm sure there's always something to do for sure. I was in restaurant business for a long time and they always told us our motto, in the restaurant business was, from a management standpoint, was if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Nobody really exactly. liked to hear that one very often because they knew if they were holding up a wall because there wasn't much to do, I was going to throw them a rag and say, go ahead and clean that wall that you're holding up.
Well, yeah, but it is true. I mean, our offices do get dirty. The bathrooms do get dirty. And unfortunately, I'm not hiring a cleaning staff. So not when I have, you know, 5-6 good young strapping men. They could do bathroom duty, floor duty, and window duty.
Right. And I think that's where that character and integrity kind of comes into play. You know what I mean? Yep. They're just to pick up the paycheck to do what they've been hired to do. They've been hired to actually work for the company and make it better and stronger, cleaner, whatever that takes. And if that means cleaning the toilets, you got to clean the toilets, you know?
So, but what we're teaching out in the field is very valuable. I mean, we're building them a career while you're getting paid.
Right.
That's the best part of it. If you want to learn, this is a place to learn.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's key in all the most successful organizations is developing that talent. I mean, anybody can go out there and hire a guy with 20 or 30 years experience, but you're not going to get the, like you said, the family unit type of team building and all that kind of stuff that kind of helps you be successful. So I obviously we have a vision of how you got there, but were there one or two points along the way, and this is probably more towards Raymond, that, you know, critical points, I guess, that you might call them from just starting up to where you're at now that you could have gone one way, but you went the other way. And you know, you're at a position where, you've obviously grown quite a bit. It, you know, kind of speak to some of those decisions that you had to make along the way that maybe got you there.
Sure. So before I answer that question, I checked in multiple different places and I'm glad to say that humanity is not so stupid. They had to write a stupid book for dummies on how to use a shovel. <That's> At least not that I found.
There was some in-game research there, huh?
Yeah, I was doing it while you were talking to Thomas. I was like, I wonder if there's a book for shovels for dummies. And there's not.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Thank God.
Thomas has worked with me for a lot of years. He actually knew my mom, worked with my mom in Laughlin, Nevada, actually for a few years before he moved out to California. And me and him had worked together for multiple years before we split company, because we were working for a company together, and he went one way, I went the other. I had decided that I didn't want to work for other companies that didn't fit my vision of what plumbing was. And a lot of these companies, look, I like to sell jobs. Don't get me wrong. I get high off of selling jobs and making sales and writing contracts and doing big, cool stuff. And early on in my years, I used to just sell jobs to homeowners, and I did the best I could to make sure that customers were educated before I started and had to sign on the dotted line. But, you know, I didn't want to be like other companies and just sell jobs to sell jobs and tell customers stuff that wasn't true and lie to them. And Thomas was the same way. So now that we've grown and or where I started at was residential service and repair, and I got this crazy idea to start a company, and I bought some equipment and got into CIPP, and you know, now I've grown to the point where I just can't do it all myself, and Thomas took over the service side and running the service plumbers and making sure that we keep integrity, honesty, and quality very high on the list of how we move forward. And now we have Mario with us, who goes out and works with the guys, sell jobs, and he's on the same page. You know, if we can't do integrity and quality, then let somebody else come in and do the job.
Yeah, and I think that's probably speaks to why you guys were able to grow too. I would imagine from a marketing standpoint, are you guys working more off referrals, or do you guys have a call center that's calling out, or how are you guys going about finding, especially from the residential service side?
Well, so there's a big answer to that. So before these guys all came to work for me, I ran the company very hands-on. So I've built a customer base, and to this day, customers will call me on my phone. Hey, Raymond, your guy came out and he's great, but I think I'm paying too much. What can you do for me on the price? And so, you know, everybody still has my cell phone number. They're welcome to call me anytime and go over stuff with customers. But just the last couple of years, we've actually had to start spending money on advertising, because we've grown to the point where even the referrals don't keep up with keeping the guys busy like they used to. But we definitely have a very, very large commercial repeat base, from property managers to industrial properties. Just, it never ends. It never ends. They, you know, we've had a few people not use us for a while because our prices are a little bit higher and they went and hired another company, but 9 out of 10 times they come back. They come back because of the service over the price all day long.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you can't put a price on not having to, well, I mean, I guess you probably can, not having to call somebody back out and have fixed, right? And do it right the second time.
Let's do it right the first time and get paid once. Can't get paid for doing it wrong twice.
Well, and this question might be more for Mario, and kind of piggybacking off that last statement. Mario, what's your process then, if you guys are actually going outside of just referrals, what's your process for picking up those sales to keep the guys moving?
The guys, they're basically going out and doing their service calls. And there's a lot of customers that don't have cleanouts. They don't have other areas of their pipes inspected. So when they go out, they have me come out and kind of do a full inspection of their pipes underneath their homes, all the way out to the street, all the branch lines. And you'll be surprised how many problems you find in the rest of the draining system besides the original problem that we're there for.
So you guys are getting a lot of upsells, I guess, if you will, from your service work on the residential side?
Correct. Yes, we are. Some drains haven't been maintained for a long time, which allows buildup roots to get into the line and do some damage. And it might not be a problem at the time or while we're there, but we're able to find other problems that are going to happen. And my job is to let the customers know of my findings so that they can make a decision on addressing it.
Well, that makes sense. Well, and I think it helps, you know, you're educating your consumer and your customer as opposed to just getting out there and putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And I imagine probably sometimes some of those issues that they're facing might be related in some way to some of those bigger problems that you guys are unearthing when you're out there?
Yeah, when people can't afford to do the big job, we're okay with doing the small job, and we're okay with just doing the preventative maintenance and coming back. You know, eventually the big job is going to have to get done, so we keep the customer happy, make them know that they're a priority, and do the preventative maintenance as long as we can, as much as we can for them to keep them running, no matter what it is, even if it's patching 2 or 3 feet of pipe at a time. If that's what they can afford, that's the way we got to do it.
Right, right.
Are you guys, I would imagine if ideally you'd probably focus on both, but are you, and it sounds like you probably have a lot more service work or PM work right now, preventative maintenance work right now than you do have construction. Are you looking to do more construction? Are you happy with the amount of construction you're doing, or how much of that split, what's the ideal split there for you guys?
I don't care about the ideal split. I care about making money and keeping my guys busy. But mainly, if we can service another contractor or a client, whatever way they need to be serviced, as long as everybody can stay happy and profitable, we'll do any type of plumbing work. Like I said, water, sewer, gas, duct lines. You know, we'll service them, we'll fix them, we'll do them on whatever scale it is.
Do you find that you guys are going in, especially on the construction side, are you going in as a subcontractor, somebody hires you to fix the plumbing, or do you guys more often go in to fix the plumbing and then you're, you know, running the rest of the job as far as, you know, the patch and the paint and everything else?
It just depends. We do offer a full service. So customer calls up, has a leak. They decide that fixing the leak isn't for them because they've had multiple leaks. We sell them a repipe, let's say.
Right.
We sell them the repipe. Now they want, can you guys do the drywall and paint and do the repairs? The answer is yes. Well, I have a B license as well as my C36, and we will have guys come in and do the full repair, and the customer only has to deal with us. You know, now there's a premium price to that. If the customer is willing to pay it, we're willing to do it. And we do sub out like some of our drywall, and we just have too many jobs going on where our two construction guys can't keep up with that all the time.
Yeah.
So sometimes we do sub that stuff out to somebody else, but the customer only deals with us, and we deal with all subcontractors to make sure everybody gets paid in a timely fashion.
Yeah, probably about quite a bit easier on from the consumer side on that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, huge.
They only have to develop a relationship with us. They only know how to call us. We keep them as our customer. And at the end of the day, they didn't have the headache of having to cut multiple checks to multiple people. And if something goes wrong, they call us and we fix it right away.
Yeah. From a forecasting standpoint, because you guys are kind of mixed in both aspects, what does forecasting look like for you guys? How far out are you guys looking and creating budgets and you know, forecasting your sales and everything else and labor?
No, that's not even a question for me. I need to call my finance guy.
Especially now, right?
Yeah, right.
What, 3 or 4 months for scheduling? Yeah, for our bigger jobs, we're probably 3 or 4 months out for scheduling. On some bigger projects, even bigger than that, like I said, I have stuff lined out all year long already for the lining crew. Hopefully by this time next year, if all goes well, we should be opening another shop in the Orange County area, moving south towards San Diego.
Well, you have to come by and hang out then.
Yeah, man.
You're That's right around the corner from us.
Yeah. So where are you guys at?
We're in Foothill Ranch. Technically, our office is in Foothill Ranch, which is kind of by Lake Forest.
Yes, yeah, smack dab in South Orange County.
Yep, right in the middle.
Yep. I said a couple of our guys live down that way.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'll make it easier for you. Yeah, so from a forecasting standpoint, it sounds like you're able to keep your guys busy as much as you can and not have to worry about fluctuation in your payroll and your employee counts, which I'm sure makes it a lot easier keeping guys busy.
Yeah, well, the guys stay busy. It's not some of the main crews that are on jobs all the time are kind of picking up the slack right now for what the service guys can't do because, like I said, it has slowed down by a little bit. But trust me, payroll makes me stomach sick every week.
I imagine right now it's probably even tougher. You guys, how are you guys managing? I know you said you had to lay off a few guys. Are you trying to keep as many of your guys employed to kind of keep them on payroll and not have to worry about rehiring them when it's back? How are you guys managing all that with the slowdown right now?
Well, Well, let's be clear. We haven't laid off anybody. Oh, nobody's okay. been laid off here. Not at all. We've terminated a couple.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And they replaced them.
Right, yeah. Right.
We've terminated a couple. Just they weren't a fit here at the company, and I don't get along well with lazy people. So unfortunately, we had to let them go. And but where we've let some go, we've already, you know, we've let three go in the last week and a half, and we've hired two to replace them already. So and we're still hiring. Like you got good people that want to be in the trade and have good character, and we're willing to look at them and give them a shot. So.
You know, you guys, yeah, so that makes it even easier for you then, I'm sure. Have you guys looked into the payroll protection? Are you guys, is that something I know a lot of people have said it's been kind of hard to navigate that. Is that something you guys have looked into?
Well, I just made a couple minutes ago. I'd have to call my finance guy. So actually, my wife works for the government and she's into the medical field of the government. But she is working from home right now. So she's working with our finance and accounting people and our CPA to make sure that that stuff gets done the proper way. If you left it to me, it'd be a piece of paper with scribbled crayon on it and say, please loan me money. What I know about finance.
It kind of goes back. He knows what he lacks. And so he brings on the right people.
Yep. Yep.
Aren't we supposed to be talking about plumbing anyway?
We like to be well-rounded here. We like to see all sides of it.
Well, hey,
yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a finance guy at all. I'm a plumber by nature. I'm a plumber by trade. That's what I know. That's what I'm really good at. I do freak my office staff out. We have Maria, who's our office manager. She keeps tracks of accounts payable, accounts receivable, and she really freaks out. Sometimes I'll call her up and be like, hey, you got a deposit for me today, right? And she's like, Well, yeah, how'd you know? I go, well, I figured the money would be coming in plus the jobs. What do we got? $40,000 going in the bank? She goes, $38,900. I go, close enough. Thanks, bye. And I'll hang it. She really finds it strange that I'm able to kind of run the finances of the company by the seat of my pants and no money in, money out. But when it comes to doing a balance sheet, guys, I have no, like, I can't even tell you what a balance sheet looks like.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's. Like you said before, right? Know what you're good at and bring the rest of the people in to supplement.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So when it comes to, you know, like you were mentioning about those three guys that you had to terminate, when it comes to making, and that might not have been a difficult decision, but that's when you guys are running decisions and trying to figure out how you're best going to move forward, is that something that you, Mario, and Thomas work out? Is that just you and Thomas kind of figure out the best approach? What's that approach in terms of making either a difficult decision with your personnel or
just on the business in general, how to move. Yeah.
Well, there's a good conversation in that because sometimes there's times when I'll walk in the office and I'll just tell Maria, process them out. And then I'll poke my head in Thomas's office. I'm like, that dude is out of here. And Thomas is like, all right. And no, I don't do that a lot, but it does happen. So this morning I walk into the shop and I was at the new shop with Thomas this morning. Get some stuff squared away. We're getting ready to move to a shop that's 3.5 times the size of the one we're in now.
Wow.
And I bought the property, been remodeling it. But I come into the original shop. Mario's in here having a conversation with Maria. And he comes out and I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I was talking to Thomas about this morning. But we're thinking about taking employee A out of his truck and putting the new guy in there. And Mario looks at me and he goes, yeah, I'm probably not the right guy to make that decision. I said, Mario, I'm not asking you to make the decision. I'm asking you for your opinion. Well, the reason Mario didn't want to make the decision or give his opinion on it is because employee B just happens to be his son who we just hired to work here as a technician. So we all have family that works inside this family. So Thomas has his daughter who works here in our office. She works in dispatch. Okay. Our dispatch manager, Alex, has his sister who works at another part of the company, but he kind of oversees her. I have my dad who works here. I have my uncle who works here. I have my daughter who works here. I also have my oldest son who works here. So now Mario, who's another manager, now has his son who works here. So even, like we said, we're all family. We all treat each other as family, but we also all have some blood and skin in the game now as family in here. So not being a biased person and being unbiased about who comes and goes is very important on how we hire, terminate, promote and stuff like that. I have one of my managers in the field who is Nick, and his name is Marlon, but we call him Fish. You know, Marlon's a fish, and we call him the stinky fish. But he's one of the field managers on the lining crew, and my son works under him. I don't tell my son what to do. I barely talk to my son about work. It all goes through managers. That way, nothing can be misconstrued about showing favoritism. So right. A hire is usually Thomas's decision, depending on who's getting hired for what. And depending on where that person is in the company, either in dispatch or in the field or whatever, termination comes with a team of guys who decide to get rid of a person. So when a team does it, it makes it easier to get rid of them because we all know that we all feel the same and it's not just the opinion of one person.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm sure that that team approach probably helps too with from the family aspect to from a hard feelings sort of way if and when you ever have to get to that point. You know what I mean?
Hopefully, well, when it comes to terminating a person, the good thing about the team that we have is before we get rid of somebody just to get rid of them, we'll usually move them around in the company to like either a plumber's truck, another field position to see if they're going to mesh better with somebody else than they are the person that they're working with now, to see if we can actually get the performance out of them and that they're trainable and make them a better technician or better helper before we have to make the decision to terminate.
Yeah, which is smart because it's, I mean, I'm sure you guys know too, but it's worth saying that, you know, bringing somebody else on, there's a lot of overhead and costs that is involved with bringing on a new employee and getting them to a certain level. So anything you can do.
Average cost, hire an employee, process them in, get them in the field. My initial investment is about $2,000 per employee. Just initial investment without doing anything but hiring them.
Yeah. And then the cost of the, because there's obviously going to be a cost in labor from an efficiency standpoint when you're training somebody versus, you know, the guy just doing it on his own. So, you know, you have that cost as well over time. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. If an employee doesn't stay for at least a year, it's a loss for us.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get rid of a guy if we don't have to. We'd like to retrain them, move them around, see what they're good at, see what they're not good at. And everything they're good at, we want to exploit it and make it better. And everything they're not good at, we want to work on and make that better.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you obviously sound like a guy who's might have a few fun stories for us, or at least one. Is there something that not that you haven't been entertaining already, but something that you can that give us that might bring a little bit of laugh or humor to somebody that might be listening?
When Thomas was in the field, he fell in a septic tank.
I mean, yeah, so no buildup, no nothing. We're just getting right to it.
Maybe
on that
expand
one.
That
yeah, we're going to need to hear a little bit more about how that happened. That's not something you can just drop like that.
Thomas was not being safe. He was walking around a hole and slipped on a septic tank. There's no other way to put that, but he fell in. And it was full. Like, yeah, at least he could have waited till after it was pumped, right?
Oh, no, it was to the lid.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't even... I mean, what do you do?
So they dug it out, dug it out, popped it off, started walking around it, couldn't wait for the pump truck, and I guess he was hot and needed a bath, and
it goes. I have
well, some that's not exactly down, but it's kind of entertaining.
Come on, that's the funny version.
I cannot even
bad
imagine.
I had to drive home in my stinky underwear, throw away all my clothes. My phone was toast. My wallet was toast. And then try to explain to the wife why I'm coming home naked. Stinky. Really bad.
But you know what the crappy part really is?
What?
No pun intended. His underwear wasn't stinky because he fell in the tank.
He's just trying to cover up.
Yeah. And I don't know that I would want to keep or, I mean, I might burn the truck after that too that I drove home in.
I got a really good story for you. I'll give you two quick ones. So I grew up in a family of plumbers. In my younger years, we would go to homes that were full of sewage underneath because a sewer pipe would break. And my dad would wrap me in plastic bags and duct tape, put a snorkel on me, and tell me to get underneath there, find the pipe, dig it out, break a hole in it so it would relieve the pressure and it would drain underneath the house. Okay? So
I'm quickly regretting asking you for stories at this point.
So I've always had the mentality, companies that I've worked for in the past, and Thomas will vouch for this one. So one year, my boss comes to me and goes, hey, I got two brand new helpers for you. I said, okay. He goes, I want you to take them out in the field on that job you're working on today. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. I was working on a house that was flooded underneath, so I did what my dad did to me. I went out, except I did one better. I went out and bought rain suits. I put the rain suits on them and I duct taped them up and I threw them a snorkel and a mask and I said, get underneath there and dig the mud out. Make a path so the water drains into the pipe. I had broke the pipe the day before. So it wasn't as bad as what my dad had done to me. I said, when you guys are done, completely done, come out. I'll have some water out. I'm going to go to another job. Take your suits off. Like I spelled it out. These guys didn't last a day. I came back 4 hours later. They were kind of done and they were sitting outside in the heat, in the sun, stinking to high heaven, never took the rain suits off, or completely dehydrated. Ooh. That was the last time I broke a helper in that way.
God. Yeah, that's, I
you have no words.
Yeah, no, I feel like asking a plumber for a story in the future is probably not in the cards. No, that's, I commend what you guys do, and I'm thankful.
God for you.
Yeah, thankful there.
But most people haven't been in the business as long as we have, and been around the block as many times as we have. You can have a guy that's been in plumbing for 20 years, and some of the stuff we've done and how we've had to make jobs happen. Most people just haven't done it that way. And I'll tell you right now, if my dad was in on this conversation, it'd be a lot more colorful than it is right now.
I imagine, yeah. That's awesome. Well, we're going to let you guys go. I know this was round two for us. I don't know. We didn't really mention it at the beginning, but we had a snafu the first time and had to redo this. So we want to really thank you guys again and for coming on again and letting us push you through this again. But it's been fun. Let everybody know where you guys are at, how to find you guys, and how to get a hold of you.
Okay, so our corporate name is A1 Total Service Construction, Inc. We are I'm a licensed master plumber, but I'm also licensed by the state of California for our C36 plumbing and our B licensed general contractor. Our DBA is A1 Total Service Plumbing, which I've started back in 2004. We are located in East Los Angeles. We service all of LA, Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino for residential service, commercial, industrial, and CIPP, trenchless, epoxy coating. You can find us online at www.a1tsp.com, or you can just call the office, 888-201-8856. My name again is Raymond Gray. I'm the owner of the company, and you can always reach me on my cell. Just talk about a job if you have a question or concern. My cell number is 562-318-4371. And I don't think that was as good as it was the first time, but that's what it is.
No, I think that was great. That might have been better than the second time around, man. That was great. Well, again, we appreciate you guys, Raymond, Thomas, Mario. Thanks so much for taking time and speaking with us. We hope you guys stay safe. It sounds like you guys are doing great, and hopefully, knock on wood, nothing else comes down and interferes with anything else you guys are doing or anybody else. And when you guys open that office in Orange County,
if you ever want to. Again, maybe we'll bring the wives in and let them have their say.
Yeah. I think that's, like you mentioned, that might be a total separate podcast or conversation that we do.
That's going to have to be like an hour and a half long podcast.
It's going to be a little bit of time. Talk about some stories, huh? There might be some stories on that side, huh?
I have stories for you.
Well, again, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Y'all be safe. Have a great day. And we'll talk with you guys soon. And again, lunch is on us when we can figure out how to be out there with you.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. And if you've made it this far, go ahead and give us a like or 5 stars or whatever means you like us wherever you listen. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. Find us just about anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or TuneIn. And make sure to visit our website at ithappenedonthejob.com for video content and extras.
If you'd like to be a guest, shoot us a message. We'd love to have you on.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.